We desire your prayers again this evening. And we have appreciated the blessings of the Lord upon us. Somebody asked me how that this meeting, or how did the Lord bring it to us? And it's been over a year. Sometimes we're out in the field and we may be in one place and somebody may request that maybe you come our way for a couple of nights and on your way out. That's all right. But this meeting here has been on our hearts for over a year. And I wouldn't call Brother Johnny until I was sure when the Lord wanted it to be so. And I was in Alabama one Saturday night, Sunday morning, something like that. I called Brother Johnny and I said, Brother Johnny, I said, I've been praying. I hadn't told him how long, but I said, I've been praying about a meeting. And I wonder how you felt about it. He said, well, I was about to call you because I need to talk to you about something. He said, I tried for you, but I missed you. So I gave him the dates that seemed like the Lord had put on my heart. And he said, all right, I'll check into it to be sure there's nothing else going on. And if I call you back, then you'll know something. If I don't call you back, we'll just schedule it right where there. But I want you to know that this meeting just didn't come overnight. It was carefully prayed out. And I intend, by the help of the Lord, to deliver my heart, my soul. I don't believe in cutting corners. I believe in preaching the Word of God, just like the Lord gives it to us. And I also believe when it hits me, I get my help too. Many times when the Lord help us to see ourselves, somehow or another we kind of close our eyes. We don't want to see it just like that. But you know, it's a blessing that God shows us how we are and where we are and then turn around and shows us how to get some help for it. I remember Brother Fuller. Body's kind of tired right now. He's trying to rest just a little bit. But I remember here not long ago, maybe about a month or so ago, he came our way and the Lord gave him a message. And when he finished preaching, it was for me. That's where I felt. Well, I went to the altar to get some help. That's the kind of fellow I am. When I see where I need some help, I want to get it. Well, and I've been endeavoring to work with that ever since the Lord showed me where I needed some help. You think we get above getting needed help? No. I think we just need to get right down where we are and ask the Lord to bless us. Well, we desire your prayers as we look a little bit into the Word of the Lord. 10th chapter of St. Luke. And verse 38, we begin reading. Now it came to pass, as they went, that they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, Doth thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she come, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. I want to put a word on the board. You pray for us. Busy. That's the kind of time we're living in. Everybody's busy. Lord, help us now. And we don't realize that the enemy deals with us through this and causes us to get away from God. Being busy. Somebody said, well, I'm doing a good thing. Don't you know, even in the business of the Lord, you can neglect some of the things that you should be doing by getting overworked? The devil can't get you to overdo it. He'll get you to underdo it. Lord, help you and I. Busy. Tired age. Let's read a little bit here. Now it came to pass that they went and they entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving. She was very busy. She was a busy woman. Realizing Jesus coming, and no doubt a lot of folks going to be coming along, and maybe I need to go in here and try to get some food prepared. That's a good thing. Seemed like you can't knock that. Somebody got to help fix the food for the folks coming. But here, she got so careful about what she was doing there and omitting the more weightier things that God wanted her to take care of. Lord, help you and I in our congregations in dealing with each other. I've seen folks, they start out in life and they get to going and seem like maybe they'll begin to accumulate things and begin to achieve things in life. And begin to want to go that route. Say, well, I want to be something in life. That's a good thought to some point. But don't you know, in all of that you're doing and try to achieve and try to get, it can get you overworked. It can get you away from the Lord. We can omit the weightier things that is so God wants us to get a hold of. Because why? We've gotten busy and we can justify ourselves for it. Well, I'm getting busy and I'm trying to... Martha could have did it here. She'd gotten busy because here come the Lord. And you know when Jesus comes along, a lot of folks want to come with him. So now I want to prepare the food and I want to be sure everything is in the place that it ought to be in. But Mary, somehow or another, wanted to go find out what Jesus was talking about. Now, quite a thought, isn't it? Now, Mary chose that thing that she wanted to go and sit at the feet of Jesus to hear his word. There are times, folks, if you and I don't get a hold of it and recognize it, that if you and I, in the time we're living in, do not take time to serve God, do not take time to get a hold of the Lord, the devil will take advantage of us. There is an accommodating spirit in this world today that will accommodate you in anything you want to do. And it'll get you to overdo it or to underdo it. I'll give you an example. Maybe you woke up this morning in a pretty good mood. Now, there's a spirit that can accommodate you feeling good for the whole day. Until another spirit comes along and then something caused you to feel sad. Then that feeling that you had that felt so good, it changes positions now on you. Now I feel bad. Why did you feel bad now, brother? Because of what I heard. Answered the telephone. Somebody said, oh, such and such happened. Oh my God. That good feeling now had changed and that a spirit that accommodated that, here come the other feeling and you feel the opposite way. Well, husband, come home and bring you a bunch of roses. And oh, my, the roses, how beautiful they are. See? You're jolly again. Then little Mark got into something. Here he come. Ma, look, you done been into the thing that you shouldn't have been in. Now the feeling changed again. There is a spirit in the world that will accommodate you in anything that you want to yield to. If you want to yield feeling bad, there's a spirit that'll help you.
If you want to yield to rejoicing and praising God, that is a good spirit that'll come along and help you rejoice. Lord, help us. And there's a spirit, if you want to be busy, He'll accommodate you. He'll accommodate you and He'll give you strength just to get right in there and get as busy as you want to get. And when you get home now I need an accommodating spirit to give me enough strength and understanding to get into the Word and get a hold of the Lord. But you know what spirit accommodates you there? That old sleepy spirit. Busy. When we first started out in the Lord, you're saved tonight. We was happy, wouldn't you? Are you still that way?
Yes, amen.
Or has something come along and kind of dulled it some? Do I still feel the enthusiasm that I felt when I first started out? You say jump and I say how high. Glory to God. Just willing to run for the Lord. Just willing to go anywhere and do anything. Willing to pray all night long if I had to. Is it that way? We answered a while ago, yes, but I hadn't finished laying out the thought. So please, don't speak so quick before you hear what I'm saying. It's all right to say amen when it's right. Praise the Lord. But do I still have that enthusiasm that I had when I first started? Can you remember? Let's reminisce a little bit, all of us. You remember the day when you got saved and how maybe you laughed and maybe you rejoiced and maybe you cried and maybe you just took off running up and down and, oh, do you remember? You remember the day after that when you went on the job site? Oh, you had a song in your heart and you were just a shining and everybody knew something had happened to Tom. Praise be to God. Something had happened. Now, 3 or 4 years later, how do you feel now? How do you feel now? Have I allowed the enemy to get me so busy and caught up in the time that we're living in that my prayer life that used to be maybe an hour and a half to 2 hours have it condensed down now to 15 minutes? I'm busy. Someone come along that maybe have a problem, that maybe needs some counseling, maybe needs someone to talk to, maybe needs someone to share their hearts with and hear. I'm too busy. Can I call you back? Something I'm doing right now. Maybe I'll talk with you tonight. And I go on about my chores trying to get it done and forget to return the call. And then when I see that person again, oh, I'm sorry, you're going to have to. I was so busy. Too busy to go to heaven. You ever thought about it like that? I'm so busy, Jesus comes along and I said, I'm too busy to go right now. Lord, help you and I. Martha got so cumbered about what she was doing. Let's see her respond. I'm going to tell the Lord about this matter. So she goes to the Lord and said, doeth you not care that Mary is not helping me in the kitchen here? If I can paraphrase, please. You mean to tell me God don't care about us? Can any one of us just reach a point and say that the Lord has not cared about me? Doeth you not care? Here I am here. You see how they eat. You see how they dress. And then you're back here and you say, well, I don't have to have all this. They walk to work. He real faint by the wayside. He walked his block. I got to get a car. And it better have that. I can't take the heat. And I know there's something that can't take the heat. But I want you to get the point. We have gotten ourselves so accustomed to we can't do without it. Air conditioner blow out, we blow out. Ooh, I can't come to church Sunday. Why? My air conditioner ain't working. What's that got to do with you being in service? It's a long drive, and I can't stand that heat. Can you see the point?
busy, 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 busy. And we leave off the very things that we so need to really bless our hearts and souls. So our families are really not functioning like they should be functioning. And we'll sit right on the seat. Now listen to this now. And we'll be at odds and never know it. Huh? They'll never know it. Oh, look at that beautiful couple. And who, you don't know what.
Lord,
you pray for us. But one thing is needful. Notice what he said. You don't think this is needful? Well, I do my part, preacher. What is your part? What is my part? See, we kind of cage God up when he comes up and say, I do my part. What is your part? He said he wants your all. That's your part. You don't have a certain amount or a certain little thing that we do and say, I'm doing my part. All of you belong to Jesus. And if he can't have all, he don't want any part at all. So we come in our own little way, in our busy age, and we try to offer the Lord a little prayer. Just a little something to say, I prayed this morning. You ever did that? Just to take off the conviction. Just, I did pray this morning. Well, it wasn't very long, but I did say something. See? So we want to offer that to the Lord. Where's the time that I need to spend with him? Where's the time that I need to humble my heart before him and get down on my face in sackcloth and ashes, so to speak? And plead and beg and dig until the Lord can show me more. Lord, we got problems developing in our congregation. We need you to reveal to us what's going on, Lord. You don't think the Lord reveals secrets? Yes, he does. Ask Daniel about it. No king says, if you don't tell me what I dream, we're going to kill all of you. Everybody got stirred, running to and fro. Daniel said, take me to the king. Well, he's going to kill you too. Take me to the king. There he goes. Oh, king, what seemed to be troubling you? I had a dream, and I can't remember what it is. He said, and I called the astrologers, the magicians, and all of the fellows to come over. They supposed to be able to tell me, and they cannot do it. And if they don't, we're going to kill them all. King, would you please give us a little time? And we'll tell you your dream. Oh, glory. Huh? You know the time when we forget about being so busy when the problem hit, and here we are, and it hits right in our home, the good one is sick, we need special prayer, we'll take off work then, won't we? Oh, yes, we will. We'll take off work then, my baby's sick. I need the Lord to undertake. But, oh, glory, sometimes those things happen to get our attention, folks. We've been moving so fast, and the Lord let those things happen to slow us down. Little things in the way to hinder us and hold us back. Daniel goes home. Calls on the brethren. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Got a problem. What is it? Oh, king had a dream. We're going to need to ask God to reveal to us what he dreams. Praise the Lord, brother. They got down in their place of prayer. It wasn't a 15-minute prayer. But they began to seek the face of the Lord. Until one night, Daniel, the Lord revealed to him what the king had dreamed. Oh, glory. I can imagine them brethren getting up and getting back down again and say, Lord, we want to thank you. You've always been there, Lord, when we needed you. We want to thank you. Daniel, go and tell the king. We'll wait till you return. Oh, Daniel went on over, king, here's your dream. Here's what you dream. And as he began to talk to the king, the old king began to remember. Folks, being too busy can't get us in this place. want the Lord to heal us. We want the Lord to bless us. We want the Lord to encourage us. We want the Lord to help us to be a blessing on our job site. Many times we can't even, God help us. It's hard for us to really stand out for God on a job. Because why? Haven't really got the goods on hand. Haven't really stayed at home long enough in the wilderness, in the closet, to get a hold of God. To see what you have for my life and my family. Missionary work. Missionary feels right in our own congregation. Many times we're in such a busy thing, we're, Mama, I'm going on my way to service. Mama, I'm on my way back home. And that's far as we go. Church, home. Taking care of our needs and our duties and our children. Too busy. I learned something. I was at Brother Fuller's house one day. I'm not just saying this because he's here. Brother Fuller went out to the store or something, and they had 10 children. And Sister Wanneke had all of her chores to do for the day, plus try to work with the children. And I was very impressed by this. The phone rang. Someone called, needed some talking, needed some counsel, needed to know what to do. And she spent about 2.5 hours on the phone instructing and talking. Now, mind you, all the children still run around, need to be taken care of. And when she finished that, she had to still pick up the chores where they had stopped to take care of, to have the day finished. And at the end of the day, I said to her, I said, I was impressed by something today. I said, out of all of your chores and cares that you had to deal with, you took time out to help somebody. You took a few minutes time here, 2.5 hours time, to see that someone else got help. But you know, we're in a busy age, folks, that we're in a hurry. We put too much on hold, God's business on hold. But ours will take care of those. Busy. And we'll get the wrong understanding of what God is calling for. Now God wants to bless us. He wants to use us. He got a certain place in the body, in the congregation. He wants to bless you. And He cannot bless you or me because I haven't made it to that place where the blessing is. See? There's a place in Jesus that God blesses. When you see Jesus' name and when you see the individual in the place, there goes the blessing. But until we get in the place to be blessed, we miss it. So henceforth now, the enemy take advantage. Martha, do you understand here that I will not take this from Mary because she had chose the good thing? Family devotion used to be more. Oh, what word do I use? I'm not good for words, but I'll try to get the thought to you anyway. We used to have lots of family devotions in homes. All right? But you know what's happening? It's slowly been let go. How do you know that? You don't have to be in someone's home to realize and to know altogether what family devotion is. Because there's some spiritual life that's going to generate when you and I do our homework. There's spiritual life that's going to generate from your children, from me, from you. And it won't be a put on. It's going to be solid. It's going to be you. It's going to be noticeable. And guess who's the leader of all of this? That's right. We are. I'm sorry they made these alarm clocks with snooze buttons on them now. It'd wake you up, you hit the snooze, going back off to sleep. Them old alarm clocks used to just ring. You had to get it up. And then you don't put it right by the bed because you turn it off anyway. You put it over across the room where you got to get up and go cut it off.
Oh, but listen. What happens to that family hour? That when we rise and spend the time with the children before we off to our duties. Sometimes we get up 8, 9 o'clock, all the devils in hell is up too. You know it? And you expect to get a good day going, and here you just getting up at 8 o'clock and trying to be to work at 8:15 and you rushing. What kind of prayer life are we going to deal with that? Who can I pray with? Everybody gone. The children now sometimes have to go to school at 6 o'clock in the morning. See? But yet, who do I blame? I blame my wife. She was there with them 80% of the time. Why don't she pray with them? She know I'm trying to take care of the home. And I'm so busy. Why can't she do it? Honey, I'm going to see about you. And Dad should lead the pack. Amen. Dad should be right in there leading the pack. Time for prayer, children. Honey, time for prayer. Sing the song. Prayer's offered. Everybody get their little hug and kiss for the day. See? You're hugging the children and telling them, oh, you be good today now, son. Daddy will see you when I come home. I saw a sign on the road one day that makes a whole lot of sense to me. It said, the best time spent is with your children. Lord, help us now. Busy. Can we see anything here? This altar ought to be free. But we'll play games with ourselves and say, we're all right. My home is in good shape. Ask your wife. And ask her to be fair with you. Ask your children. And see what they tell you. Then ask God. Lord, how do you see it? You remember when Jesus was dealing with his disciples to go out into the world? What did he tell them over in the 6th chapter of Matthew? He said, take no thought for your life. Why did he tell them that way? Take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat or drink or put on. And I know wisdom tell us we got to have clothes, and we have to have this, and we have to have that. Why should we do? But when we get those priorities in such a way that I leave off God, what am I going to do with them anyway now? See? We'll get all of these priorities in the place that they are first. And it'll cause us to miss service. It'll cause us to not be on time, late, running this, doing that. And we're putting God secondary. Putting him in the background. Because I have all this to do in order to do this. And it's backwards. First seek ye the kingdom of God. And all of his righteousness. And he said, these things. They'll be added to you. You remember when Solomon, one of the wisest men ever lived, over in Kings somewhere over there, maybe I can paraphrase. When he came before God and he needed the help of God, he said to him something about, well, I want an understanding heart. First of all, the Lord appeared to him in a dream. And he said to him, what do you wish? What do you want? And I'll say tonight, if every one of us had a wish, think about it now. We don't deal with no wishing wells and all this, but I'm just bringing a thought. I want you to get a thought. If you had one, let me use change the word, one desire, okay? What would you desire? Now notice something here. I notice in dealing with the children sometimes, and I use this word again, wish, but they'll say, I wish I had 10 more wishes. See? This so I can have some I can splurge with. That's what that's all about. I want 10 more so I can take 5 or 6 of them
and just do what I want with those, and then I get serious when I get down to the last ones. This is the way we think, folks. Many times it's the way we think. But he appeared to Solomon to find out what was his heart's desire. He said, I desire to have an understanding heart. How to work with your people.
Understanding heart. Judge thy people. That I may discern between good and bad.
No, hold it right there. Hold it right there, brother. Hold it a minute. Lord, help us as preachers. Help us as Sunday school teachers. Help us as gospel workers. Help us as saints of God. He said, I want an understanding heart that I may be able to discern. This is what the preachers do. It's for me too. Do you know? If I cannot be alert and watchful and prayerful in my congregation to know how the devil comes in, to know how he operates. If I don't have that kind of discernment, I'll lose everyone. Lord, help you and I now. In your family, in your home, if you can't discern where your wife is, where your children are, you'll lose them. You lose them every time. Oh, I thought she was all right. And here she's been hurting for the last I don't know how long. And you never picked it up. You were too busy. You never took time. And here's why I guess, I don't know, some of the brethren, God called them into full-time ministry. That they can be more aware and alert. But I'm going to tell you something. In the day and time we're living in, you preaching this kind of truth, you better have your round-trip ticket. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you reality. I remember a brother came our way and preached the gospel and preached it straight, and he was given $2. I like the way he did it. He said, praise the Lord. And by him being so thankful, he had to drive home about 18 hours away. He ran out of gas just outside of home. He remembered the $2. Oh, God. Put his $2 worth of gas and he made it home. Folks, I'm going to say to you that you and I have to be alert enough and aware enough to know what comes among us and what operates in our presence. Many times wool is over our eyes and we don't know until it got a root in, and then here we go trying to uproot it and can't do nothing with it. He's so tear. And then we wake up and find out half of them gone. Oh, what has happened? I was too busy. Solomon said, I want discernment, that I'll be able to discern how to judge your people. Reuben.
An understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?
And the Lord goes on to speak to him and say, because you didn't ask for it. I like to do it this way. Big house on a hill. Big chariot with 7, 8, 9 horses. Because you didn't ask for all of this materials, if you please. All right, now Lord, help us now. Because you didn't ask for this, he said, I'm going to give.
That's right.
Let's read what he said, you're going to get it.
God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing,
all right,
hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself.
Neither have you asked riches for yourself.
Or hast asked the life of thine enemies.
Or you haven't asked the life of your enemies.
But hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment.
You wanted understanding how to work in the service of God? You had a desire that you really want to live for God? Can you see what I'm talking about? Everything you touch would turn to gold when you live for God. Don't you know it? God has a way of feeding you and I like to say, from hand to mouth. Many times we got to have everything so set up before I can do something. So set up before I can go somewhere. And we lose it. We lose the real blessing that God wants to bless us, because everything has to be just so before I can go and before I can do. Many of us, many times, we feel this way. Oh, but when I get this together, I'm going. And you ever notice something? It never gets together. It never gets together. Because here you're trying to get it together, and God's been back here, been trying to bless you, been wanting to show you that step out on faith, and you trying to get it together. Lord, help us. Oh, Lord. And then our children pattern behind us. Our children pattern right behind us. They get the initiative to go, and I want to get this, I want to accumulate that. Oh, we got to have this in this world today, and you got to be this, and you got to be that. You just need to be a good child of God, a Christian, and let God direct you. And you won't get so busy. Amen. But I have in my mind the way it has to be before I go. Huh? See what I'm talking about now? Before I do this, it got to be in my mind. Solomon says, I want an understanding heart. Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit. Enoch says, I want to be translated. He said, I don't want to die. I just want to just be taken over with. Ooh, hallelujah. So be it. That's what you want? Huh? That's your wish? That's what you desire? Then so be it. You remember the man when he came in and said he wanted a hand? Wanted his hand restored. Jesus said, so be it unto you. That's what you want? You desire it? You can have it. Oh God, help us. We're so needy creatures. But yet we seem like we play around. Seem like we get in a place we don't need anything. And all the time, the enemy is coming into our homes and destroying, turning the children against the fathers. Then the writer said something about turn the father's heart back to their children. What happened? Read some more, please.
Lord, I have done according to thy words. Lord, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee.
Now, wait a minute. Because you didn't ask for those materials, I'm going to give you an understanding heart, your desire to please me and to judge my people, and beside that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And now I'm going to add, Solomon, I'm going to give you all these other things. See? See how I did it? But we get sometimes ahead of ourselves. We're going to accumulate all of this before I can do for God. And I get myself so busy and so cumbered about with so many things until I leave out God. And the next thing you know, my salvation is gone. And then there's an accommodating spirit would accommodate you to make you feel that you're all right. Lord, help us now. How far do friendship go? How far do friendship go? How far do buddies go? How far do pals go? Jesus Christ. Don't you know it? I cannot get so friend or pal of you that I cannot tell you the truth. You see what I'm talking about now? When it gets so that I have to get where I can't tell you the truth, then I'm not helping you at all. I'm not helping you at all. And many times folks get offended because you tell them the truth.
That's right.
I told a brother one time, and get a hold of this.
Sometimes folks say, that's man rule.
You wait till you hear.
brother just testified, and living below his testimony. Huh? Testifying, and he said one day to me, he said, "Oh, my wife and I, we had a fight last night." I said, "Brother, hold your testimony." Amen. See what I'm talking about? You are testifying and testifying, and here you and your wife fight. You heard me say it the other night when I came in and I couldn't preach. You heard me say that? I had a message. And I got to the door and my wife and I had a misunderstanding and I couldn't preach. I couldn't feel at liberty to deliver the message that the Lord laid on my heart. But the old devil tried to tell me, "You got a message, you can straighten that up later on." I'm going, "No, devil, I'm not going to listen to you." See, we get too busy many times till we can really understand how the Lord's trying to work with us. But He'll direct every one of us if we let Him. We came to share the truth with you. We prayed for this meeting for over a year. And now we're here. When we leave, we're going to leave you with everything the Lord laid on our heart. It'll be in your hands. You'll have to work with it. But I want to leave knowing that I've, like Paul said, I held back nothing that the Lord had given me. We're in a busy age. And I believe we're getting too busy, folks. So we are losing discernment to discern, even in our congregations, how to work with individuals. And we just kind of don't want to bear the responsibility or something. Maybe that's it. Maybe I want the title, or maybe I want to be the Sunday school teacher, but I don't want to bear the responsibility that goes with it. There's a responsibility that goes with the work of God. Did you know it? There's a responsibility that goes with you saying, "I'm saved." Did you know it? You tell folks you say, what are you saying? What are you saying when you say, "I'm saved"? Think about it. I have chose to follow Jesus. I have stopped the sin business. I'm going to live a holy life. Now, you're going to have to prove every bit of it. You're going to have to prove what it means when it said, "Husband, love your wife. Wife, submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord." You have to prove that now. And many times we get a little fussy, don't we? Many times we get a little fussy. And we're too busy to really seek the face of the Lord to find out what way should it take. Because you didn't ask for all of these things, and you asked for an understanding heart, I'm going to share these with you. I'm going to give you this. Now, in the ending of Solomon's time, he still failed to follow the instructions. When you get instructions from God and He blesses you, you are to continue. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. There is a continuation now. I got my help, Lord. Now I want to continue in the Lord. You're going to have to feed and you're going to have to dig in God like never before. Now you want to get fanatical? Let's get fanatical in dealing with Jesus and praying and reading the scriptures and getting the hold of the Lord. And, oh. I got another thought that came into my mind I'd like to just share. You remember when Eve was going to take of the tree and the devil said to her, said, "And the Lord know the day that you eat of this, you become as He is." Alright? I want to reverse that a little bit. The devil
Lord knows that the day that you partake of what I'm talking about now and get some help to our soul and get down on all the prayer and spend some time with God, the devil knew the day that you do this, the time that you spend now more with God, he know he got trouble. He knows he has trouble. So that's why he works hard to get us to go the opposite way. He knows. Now this is the tree that we can eat of in the garden. He said, of this you can eat all you want. Glory to God. Now let's eat of this. But we slow about eating. We act like this tree is the one we shouldn't eat of. See what I'm talking about? We're still in the frame of mind that that's the one the Lord said don't eat. No, this is the one he said eat all you want. And the devil knows the day that we eat of this. Let every saint that say they're a saint get in the place that they're supposed to be in. Everyone. Lord have mercy. Whew, it's hard to think about it. You, every one of us that say we're saved and love God, get down to business with God. Let every preacher preach the gospel uncompromised. Let every one of us live according to the scripture. And you'd see what we have. Power. You talking about the atomic bomb's power? No, nothing like this. When two will put how many thousand? 10,000 to flight. One of us is strong enough to put 1,000 on the run and get out of here. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. One of us walk down on a job site and somebody say, hey, tell me you're saved. Sit down, brother. You ain't heard the best of it. Let me tell you, the other half ain't yet been told. Let me tell you how I got saved. Let me tell you what God did for me and what he'll do for you. I gotta go to work. No, hold on just a little bit longer. I gotta go to work too. But let me tell you some more. See what I'm talking about? Many days, I remember when I got saved, when it come time to lunch period, I wouldn't just go on a man's job and try to witness to everybody on the job, but I'd wait till lunch break. 12 o'clock came. Ooh, that's how the congregation started down home. 12 o'clock, only had 30 minutes. Wasn't concerned about eating. I started holding a little Bible study. Had one. Next day had two. Pretty soon, after about a week, we had about 12. Gathering around for that half hour of Bible study. Souls started getting saved. Sorry to say it, they stayed saved, some of them 5, 6, 7, 8 years, and the devil took advantage of them. Why? Not continuing. Many times we add to the congregation just our children. Our children's children. Or our cousin. What happened to the little old lady down the street? What happened to the one across the street? Needs to know about God. I'm too busy. I'm too busy. I can't seem to go over. I remember when I first got saved, and some of the saints still do it. Saints would come in, and if there was someone in need of prayer, wasn't saved, maybe sick.